Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43, Christ's work to strengthen our faith in humanly devastating interruptions. We learn in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded onto upright Christian service from personal failure. Sometimes such failure arises from life's humanly devastating trials, but these are simply the means God uses to strengthen our faith in Him, as seen in Jesus' ministry in Mark 5, 21 to 43. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark 5, beginning at verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side of the sea, many people gathered unto Him, and He was close unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus started to go with him, and many people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman who had an issue or a hemorrhage of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And immediately the source of her hemorrhage was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned himself about in the presence, said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of your plague. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said, Your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he permitted no man to follow him except Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but is sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, that's Peter, James, and John, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took hold of the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, that's in Aramaic, which be interpreted as, Damsel, I say unto you, arise. And immediately the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them immediately that no man should make it known, and commanded that something should be given unto her to eat. It's interesting that Christ's raising of Jairus' daughter here in Mark 5, 21, 24, and verses 35 to 43 is interrupted. It's interrupted by his healing of a woman with a hemorrhage in Mark 5, 24 to 25 to verse 34. The connection between these two events was divinely intended, for Jairus' daughter was 12 years old, Mark 5, 42, the same 12 years that the woman with the hemorrhage had suffered her affliction, Mark 5, 25. So God had planned for both events to occur as they did, including Jesus' ministry to raise Jairus' daughter being interrupted by the healing of the woman with the hemorrhage. This is all intentional. Now, what's the whole lesson? From the human perspective, the interruption proved to be a devastating trial for Jairus, the father of this little girl. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a ruler of the synagogue named Jairus came up to him, fell at his feet, begging Jesus to come and heal his daughter who lay near death. Jesus began to go with him, with many people following them, thronging them. However, an interruption to this critical event occurred, delaying Jesus' healing of the girl. A woman who had suffered for a 12-year hemorrhage, who had seen many doctors and suffered much, spending all she had only to get worse, where have we heard that before, hearing of Jesus, came to him to be healed. She believed that her unclean state, remember Leviticus 15:2, if anyone has an issue, or if there's something that is flowing from them, they're unclean. So she believed that her unclean state, in her state, Jesus would not want to touch her, because that would make him ceremonially unclean. So if she touched his clothes from behind amid the press of people, she could be healed unobserved and not offended, and not offend him. Now what she believed is that there would be some power there and she'd get some power from it and heal her. She was actually believing in magic. So this is why Jesus had to stop and correct that. He wasn't going to let her get by with believing that it was magic, that it was actually the power of God. Which shows us that God is so concerned that people get their theology right, he's allowing this little girl to die. It shows how important correct theology is in the eyes of Almighty God. But anyway, when she touched Jesus' clothes, she felt that she had been instantly completely healed. Yet Jesus sensed power had left him to heal, that someone had touched him believing that magic healed him, so he wanted to correct the error. So he turned around to ask, "Who touched my clothes?" In fact, one of the other Gospels says that Jesus had an outer cloak, like a huge shawl, and he flung it over so that the corner of the cloak, which had tassels on it, hung down between his shoulder blades. Well, the lady came up and actually touched the tassels that were dangling, and she figured no way he would know that, just touching the tassels. But of course, Jesus felt the power draw, so he knew. And this isn't Jesus. People were rubbing up against him and banging him all over. And yet he could still tell that someone touched his clothes. Very interesting. So the disciples wondered why Jesus asked if someone touched his clothes, since he was being thronged. But he kept looking until the woman who was healed came, fearing and trembling, and fell down before him to admit her whole story. She thought at this point she was really going to get in trouble because she's made the Lord Jesus contaminated. She's made him so that he's not ceremonially unclean. And she thought she was going to get in real trouble. They're going to turn her into the rabbis and who knows. But she was healed and she was grateful for that. So she came and she flung herself at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Now Jesus comforted her. He called her with a very affectionate term. If an adult man would call a woman daughter, that's a term of affection, as you would your own daughter. So Jesus is calling her affectionate. We would say dearie, something like that. Because of her newfound faith in him as the Messiah, and he informed her that her faith, not magic, had healed her by God's grace. She was to go in peace and be whole from her hemorrhage. The only reason Jesus stopped here for this woman is he wanted to correct her theology. You believed in me, and because you believed in me, that's why you were made whole. It's not magic. I just wanted you to get that straight. That's all he's saying. So you go in peace. I'm not going to hurt you. You didn't contaminate me. I made you clean. Nobody contaminates me when I made you clean. So it's a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus did. However, this interruption proved to be fatal. As Jesus was comforting this woman, a man from Jairus' house arrived to suggest he not trouble Jesus any longer since his little daughter had just died. You can just imagine Jairus' heart sinking. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why you trouble the master any further?" His heart must have just sunk. He might have gotten embittered if that woman hadn't interrupted. You know, there are just so many things here that's not wrong. If Jesus hadn't let himself get interrupted, he could have healed this lady later. You know, he could have explained it later. You know, why? Why did this happen? And that often happens. Sometimes trials come up and we wonder, why did this happen? You know, and the tendency is to blame God. Well, when Jesus heard this news, he immediately encouraged Jairus. He told him not to start to be afraid for his own benefit. The Greek word phobou is a present middle imperative. The middle voice is something you do for your own benefit. And since it's in the present tense with the mace subjunctive, is don't start. Okay, just because you've heard this bad news, I don't want you to start to be afraid. Let's quench it right now. I've got this under complete control. Don't you worry about it. Don't go there. For your own benefit, don't start to get agonized here, all right? but only keep on believing. You have a present imperative, pistuet, which means keep believing. You've been believing in me up till now. You've been following me. Keep on. Don't quit. Keep believing that Jesus will restore his daughter. You know, this is something that the Lord wants. Sometimes we do have trials, and the trials suddenly, because of interruptions or other events, they get not only bad, they get catastrophic. And the tendency is to be terrified. And not only terrified, but, you know, to give up. And God said, no, I don't want you to be terrified. I want you not to start to be afraid. All you're going to do is hurt yourself. Don't do that. You keep believing. You started to believe me when we got into this thing. You stay with it. Wonderful information from the Lord here. Keep on going with what you started to do with the trial. Now, when Jesus arrived at Jairus' home and saw all the mourners wailing, he asked why they were making the commotion, asserting the girl was not dead but asleep, indicating that her death was temporal. Now, there are some people who believe in soul sleep because of statements like this by the Lord Jesus, that when a person dies, the soul actually is unconscious and the soul goes to sleep. We don't believe that. We believe that in the presence of the Lord, there's complete consciousness because there's joy and so forth. People are wide awake. But Jesus used the phrase sleep here, not to say that she wasn't dead. She was dead, but to indicate that this is temporary. This is why when Paul talks about the rapture, he says, them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He uses the sleep because they're just temporary dead. They're going to rise at the rapture. This is why we can talk about Sherry Reinfuss. She's sleeping, in a sense. She's going to rise again in the rapture. And that's the next thing on the plan of God for the church. So in a real sense, we could say, she just sleeps. She'll wake up. And death for a Christian is just a temporary inconvenience because eternity, we're going to be alive and resurrected. So it's a wonderful hope that we have. But anyway, Jesus was indicating that her death was temporal. Full of unbelief, they laughed and scorned at Jesus, but he put them all out except the girl's parents and disciples, Peter, James, and John, and proceeded to raise the girl to life, taking her by the hand and telling her to rise, talitha kumi. Those in the room were astonished at this, but Jesus charged them to tell no one about it as the people were unbelieving. And he told them to give the girl something to eat. I think this is interesting. Often, especially girls when they're around the age of 12, sometimes they, for one reason or another, they don't eat quite enough. And a lot of times girls around that age can faint very quickly if they don't get enough. We had a girl here one time that fainted on us in the service. The same thing. She hadn't eaten properly for breakfast and so forth. Boom, she was out. Well, Jesus knew that this little girl's body was emaciated. She hadn't eaten probably for a while because she was so sick. She couldn't hold anything down. So now she's better. That's fine. He's made her better, but her immune system needs to be built up. So he's resurrected her in her typical body. It's not a glorified body. Give her something to eat. So the great physician says, give her something to eat. She needs to eat. And so she was able to eat. And then she could get stronger. It's very interesting. Jesus was looking at absolutely every aspect of this little girl. He'd healed her, taken care of the disease, but now she needed some food. And the Lord Jesus is very concerned about all the details of our bodies as well. But the lesson is God arranged for an interruption to arise in Jairus' life to turn a crisis into a humanly devastating trial to him, to teach him for his benefit not to start to fear the humanly devastating trial, but to keep on believing in the Lord's help. In other words, keep on what he had been doing. He'd started to believe when he got into this trouble. He was supposed to keep on with it. When Jairus kept on trusting Jesus, Jesus ended his devastating trial with a great faith-building miracle. All the trial did was give Jesus an opportunity to show his power the more. The bigger the trial, the more the solution. If the little girl hadn't died, Jesus had just raised her up to full health and strength, that would be one thing. But to take the little girl after she died and raise her up, the mourners are all there, but he was grieving, and raise her up from the dead, that's a greater miracle. So God often will wait until things get devastatingly overwhelming because he wants to show his power. That's all he's trying to do, is just show his greatness. So in application, if interruptions turn a crisis into a greater trial, all we're supposed to do is keep trusting so that God can develop our faith.